Anyways. Thanks for coming today. The best comment I got was somebody asked if it was like ugly shirt day today. That was the best one. I said that's worthy of sharing. You can thank Allie White for that. Anyways, we are going to jump into Daniel 12 because there's something more important than the Super Bowl. That's what we get to do here every Sunday, and I really believe that. And this particular chapter is really important as well. We're going to see why as we jump into it. I just love God's wisdom and his plan in leading us as we go through different books of the Bible. Each and every Sunday, I have an opportunity to work through this. And we've spent a lot of time in Daniel over the last, I guess we've spent about 13 weeks in it. And it's been spread out with Christmas sort of separating it. But his wisdom to teach us a lot of things as we make our way through different portions of Scripture. And to be in Daniel has been a blessing. And this last chapter is a blessing as well as we close it out. But before we do, let's pray and ask God to pour out his Spirit upon us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time to jump into your word. I thank you for Daniel and the 13 messages that we've been able to work through together as a church to encounter you, to be equipped by you, to be spurred on by you through your word, to have to wrestle through difficult passages. Lord, to get us to really think about these things. Lord, to help us take our faith seriously. To really wrestle with what does it mean to live in this world as disciples of Christ and endure in the faith. And not just fall prey to the things of this world, but to honor and glorify you in all things, Lord. It's a struggle. And so we ask, Lord, as we close out this book together, that you would pour out your Spirit, you would soften hearts, you would write these words on our hearts, you would cause these words to bear a lot of fruit that would last, Lord, our lifetime and beyond, that these seeds sown here today, Lord, would affect the next generation as we have an opportunity to train them, as we call for them to endure in the faith, as we seek to endure in the faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, the book of Daniel, it has been a journey for us. It's been exciting to have to wrestle through it each week. It's been exciting to kind of come here and talk with all of you about it and then to hear what God is doing in your lives as you encounter God through this book. This book has served us in many ways. It's served us as it's kind of this manual for the church, for the people of God, teaching us how to suffer, how to walk through hard things in this life in such a way that we bring glory to God. See, this book, it began with the people of God being captured by the Babylonians and being taken from their land, made to serve the Babylonian Empire. In this book, we've seen Daniel and his boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, be tested. Their faith be tested as they were persecuted for their faithfulness to God, to trust in God, to go as far as obeying God and not do the things that the authorities wanted them to do. And they had to pay the price for it, being thrown in a super hot, fiery furnace. And living to tell about it. Being thrown in a lion's den and being rescued by God. Living to tell about it. I love this book of Daniel. I love that we've been able to spend time together. And I love what we've been able to learn about God and his power. What it means for him to be sovereign over all things, including the raising up of a Babylonian empire or a Persian empire. We get to see a God who is sovereign over all of life, who's at work in all things, who's working all of these things out, all according to his good purpose and his good plan. even though it's hard to trust it sometimes. And we've seen that. But we've seen Daniel faithfully trust in the Lord. See, this book is about the people of God living in a foreign land for the glory of God as they await a future deliverance. Very similar to what we're doing. Men and women who've been called by God, men and women who've been saved by God, who've been sort of called out of darkness, out of this world, transformed by the gospel, yet we still live in this world, right? And we're awaiting something better than this. We're awaiting this future where we get to spend eternity with Christ, but we're not there yet. We're here. And so we're called to live our lives. And so we see this in Daniel. How do we do that? How do we live out our lives each and every day in this world, in the hard things that we experience in this world? Because the reality is, there are hard things. It's one of the things Daniel was encountering over and over again, and the people of God, they experienced hard. They experienced pain. They experienced suffering. We don't escape hard. We don't escape trouble. We're called to walk through those things at times, and they're going to vary in degrees, but God gives us grace to walk through it. God speaks to those things so that we keep moving. And we've seen that throughout the book of Daniel. We've seen what it looks like to be faithful when it's difficult. We've seen that we're not left without hope. Because this book gives us a lot of hope, because this book gives us God. It gives us a big picture of a God who is in control. And this book teaches us that this is not the end. That this life is not all that there is. Although sometimes it's hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to see past today. It's hard to see past what's really beyond this world that we're currently living. But in this book, we see that there's something beyond this. And that we're called to sort of have an imagination for that thing. We're called to think about those things because the truth of our eternity with Christ, it's meant to inform how we live today. It's meant to inform how we walk out our lives in relationship with one another, in relationship with the world. It's meant to inform all of this. And what we're going to see today is that it's meant to inform our endurance in the faith. Our endurance in the faith. Sometimes we don't like that word. I know some people like the word endurance. We have folks who like to train for long runs. We have friends who like to train for hard races. And those things, they need endurance, right? To compete in these long races, there's a need for endurance. And so you have to train your body. You have to prepare for enduring. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. You can't just sign up and all of a sudden join a marathon. Some of you probably can, but for the most part, you have to prepare to endure. And so this book is helping us to endure because the reality is we have need for this endurance. The life that Christ has called us to, the faith that we're called to walk out, it's lengthy. It's lengthy. And so here's what we're going to learn this morning. This truth, because there is an end to this life and God is sovereign over it, we must endure by faith in Christ to the end. Because there is an end to this life. Listen, there is an end to this life. We're going to see that this morning in this text. There is an end to what we know as this life. And that truth that God is sovereign over it, meaning he's in control of it all, it has this effect. Or it should produce this in us. We should endure by faith in Christ to the end. And so if we're going to be faithful in trusting Christ, if we're going to be faithful to pick up a cross and take a step of faith each and every day and walk that path to the end, we need to learn a couple things here this morning from this chapter. And God has given us a number of truths. I'm just going to highlight three of them this morning. And so the first truth is this. God will deliver everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ. God is going to deliver every single person who has trusted in Jesus Christ and has been saved by Jesus Christ through faith in Jesus Christ. That truth right there, that's meant to produce this sense of faith to keep us moving forward. That's one of those convictions, these things we hold on to when life gets hard and trouble comes our way and darkness enters. This is one of those truths that's meant to be there that quickly says, no, you can keep moving because God will deliver everyone who has trusted in Jesus Christ. So let's look at the text. Verse 1, he says, "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people." The time that's being referred to here by God's messenger. And so this first half of 12 is really ending 11, where this messenger is being sent to Daniel and is telling Daniel about the end of the time, about what's going to happen, what's going to take place in preparing him and God's people for the very end. That's what he's talking about here. And so the time is the time of the end that's talked about in the previous chapter. And when this time arises, God is going to raise up the angel Michael to watch over and protect the people of God, the church, the body of Christ, all men and women and children who have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. God is going to raise up one of his angels to protect his church, to watch over his church. Now, we learn about Michael in Jude chapter 9. He's referred to as the archangel. So he's kind of the leader of leaders of angels. He's one of the chief angels. He's kind of a big deal if God was to line up all of his angels. And he's one of those guys that God puts in charge. And God's going to raise him up at the end to watch over and protect his people. And in Revelation 12, we learn a little bit more about him, where we learn that he's going to lead a victorious war against Satan and his demons in the end. So there's going to be this battle that's going on and things that we really can't see. There's going to be these angels and these demons. There's going to be this fighting, and God's going to raise up one of his angels, along with probably a legion of angels, to protect his people. That's good news. It's hard to believe because I know we can't see it, right? It's hard to see something like that beyond what we can see here today. But this is what God is teaching us here. He's saying, at the end, this is what's going to happen. And he goes on, he says, and there shall be a time of trouble such as has never been since there was a nation till that time. That's scary business right there. He's just saying it's not going to be comfortable. The end, at the end, you're going to raise up Michael, and then, there's just going to be this time of trouble as has never been seen before. It's going to be dark. It's going to be real dark. I mean, an unprecedented amount of trouble and suffering. And Jesus, he talks about this. This isn't new in the sense of, is Daniel making this up? What does Jesus have to say about this? Well, look with me in Mark, please. Mark 13. Mark 13. Jesus is just really confirming what Daniel is saying here. So Mark 13, I'm going to verses 19 and 20. He just says this: "For in those days," talking about the end, "there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of creation, that God created until now, and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose, he shortened the days." The end, it's going to be troubling. It's going to be dark. There's going to be trouble like this world has never seen before. Listen, this isn't a joke. This is a messenger from God coming to Daniel to prepare Daniel and all of God's people for the end of this life, so that we might endure. There's going to be great trouble. There's going to be great suffering and evil, but we will not have to endure it without help. That's the thing. Like, pay attention to that. It's going to be that bad, but we don't have to walk through it alone. We don't walk through it alone. Dale Ralph Davis had this to say about what the church is going to walk through. He says, "We don't know all that is involved here, but from Daniel 10, we understand Michael. Daniel 12, we understand Michael to be the warrior advocate of God's people, who takes up the cudgels on their behalf." Now, I had to look that up. Anybody know what a cudgel is?
Got a few smart people, right? Micaiah, thank you. Yeah, it's just this club. Just think about it as a club. He's going to take up this weapon on behalf of the church. He's going to fight for the church. They're unseen legions standing behind the wobbly people of God in their darkest trouble. I love that sentence. There are unseen legions of angels standing behind the wobbly people of God in their darkest trouble. See, it's going to be bad, but it's not going to be hopeless. How many of you have ever felt wobbly before? Like, you just wake up and it's just, if you haven't, like, you might be delusional or something, or you just haven't lived life long enough, or you're just sort of blind to certain things, but the world we live in, eventually you are going to wobble, I guarantee it. Eventually you'll have kids and you're going to wobble. You will. Luke, you will. I saw you shake your head. You're going to wobble. Here's the good news about this. The good news is there is angels, there's legions of angels in this darkest hour that are going to be behind God's people when they're wobbling. And I just think about that, and why I love that so much is because I wobble, and I watch people wobble today, and I don't think this is just for then, because I know the rest of Scripture. I know how God is at work in all things, and I just envision behind wobbly Christians, behind wobbly churches, behind people who are just seeking to wobble through life, God is at work. It's just a different way of saying He's at work in all things. I just like to say, when we're wobbling, God is at work behind us, protecting us, watching over us. And so as we think about the end, as we think about having to endure hard things, listen, we don't ever do it alone. We don't do those things alone. We never wobble alone. Never, ever, 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 ever will we wobble alone. God is at work in all things. And especially when we get to the end, if we're alive in the end, and we're going to see in a moment, we might not be alive in the end, but some will be alive in the end, they're not going to wobble alone. God is at work. God is at work. It's going to be bad. It's going to get real bad, but it's not going to be so bad that we don't end up making it through. And so he goes on and he says, but at that time, at that very troubling and dark time, your people shall be delivered. So he just talked about how nasty this thing's going to be. And it can seem really scary. And who's going to want to actually have to walk through something that bad? And he just says, no, at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, they're going to be delivered. Just like that. It's going to be bad, it's going to be hard, but your people will be delivered. That's a promise. That's one of those things when you're just walking through and it's just, am I going to make it? This is super dark right now. This is really, really hard. I don't think I'm going to make it. And we look at a verse like this, and he says, no, you're going to be delivered. Everyone whose name is written in the book, they're going to be delivered. If your name is in that book, and later on in Scripture, it's referred to as a Lamb's Book of Life. It's this book that God has written in, who's got everybody's name who has been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. If your name is in that book, what he's saying is you're safe. You will be delivered. You're going to have to walk through some hard things, but in the end, you're going to be delivered. He's going to deliver you. If he has saved you, he will deliver you. That's good news. That's meant to bolster our faith, to walk through tough things, to walk through the end, to walk to the end, through what's there in the end, if by the grace of God he calls us to that, meaning if we're still alive, he's going to deliver us. That's our God. He delivers those whom he saves. He doesn't abandon those people who he saved. He saves them and he delivers them because he's at work in them. So if your name is there, you will be delivered. Daniel Aiken, he wrote this. He said, referring to the end, he said, the Antichrist may rage against the holy people of God. It may seem for a while like he will succeed and be victorious. Saints will suffer and saints will die. Listen, this deliverance does not mean we won't die. But he said this,
do not panic. Don't be afraid. Deliverance is on the way. As Daniel 7 promised, with the gracious coming of the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, here's the way this works. If your name is written in that book, you will be safe. You will be delivered. You will inherit the new heavens and the new earth when this life is over. If God says he's going to deliver you, you will be delivered. And this means that there's hope. There's hope that we're going to be resurrected. Because he goes on and he says this. Look at verse 2. We're only in verse 2. We're going to fly, get going a little faster after verse 4. But he says this in verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And so let's say we don't make it to the very end when all this trouble and we've passed away. Well, what's going to happen? And he's saying, no, what's going to happen on that day is there's going to be a great resurrection. There's going to be a great resurrection. He's going to resurrect everyone. Everyone. And those whose names have been written in that book, those whom he has saved, guess what? He's going to raise you up to everlasting life. That's what's on the other side of this life for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. There's this everlasting life where we get to spend eternity with him the way it's supposed to be. Who likes that? That's good news. That's really, really, really good news. But guess what? There's bad news here too. Because everybody's being resurrected. Those who aren't found in that book, those who have not trusted in Jesus Christ, those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior, when he raises them, he says that they too will be raised, but not to everlasting life, but instead to everlasting contempt. Everlasting contempt or judgment. That's a scary thing. That's not good news. It's good news to Daniel and his people as they're suffering at the hands of those who are rejecting God and his people. What God is saying here is I'm going to raise you up to everlasting life, and those who haven't trusted me, those who are seeking to do wicked and evil things, they're going to be judged. That's good news to Daniel as well, because there's this great day of reckoning that's going to take place, but it's bad news to everyone who hasn't trusted in him. See, the point again is this world is not all that there is. It feels like it because it's all we see. It's what we experience. But there's a life after this life. And those who trust in Jesus, listen, everlasting life is yours. But if you reject Christ, you get everlasting judgment. So if you're rejecting Christ right now, I just encourage you to trust in Christ. Because in the end, Jesus wins. He does. In the end, Jesus wins. He wins. He's going to wrap this whole thing up, and he's going to bring in the new heavens and the new earth. He wins. And I would also say he's winning right now. He's on his throne, reigning and ruling over all things. It's hard to see that, but he is winning right now. And in the end, he wins. That's our hope. That's why we don't turn away from him. That's why we continue to trust in him and endure through hard things, because he wins and he is winning. The messenger goes on and he says, those who are wise shall shine like brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever. It's going to be a great day. A great day for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. We're going to share in his glory. This is where I think this imagination part, like, it needs to kick in. I mean, it's hard to imagine, but just imagine being raised from the dead. All your brothers and sisters who have trusted in Christ being raised from the dead, their bodies being raised up. I don't know what that's going to really look like, but there's going to be a lot of people being raised up, and they're going to be with him, and they're going to shine bright. It's going to be mind-blowing. But it's going to happen. And he goes on and he says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and increase in knowledge. What this means is that Daniel, or that God has spoken to Daniel. He's revealed these specific truths to him, encouraging Daniel to the end that these things must be sealed up and protected. Not hidden, but sealed up and protected. Because these words are meant to encourage and build the church for the end. And as at the end draws to a near, that what he's also saying here is that the knowledge is going to increase. God's going to be at work. We're not going to just walk into this thing sort of lacking understanding. There's going to be an increase in knowledge for God's people as these things keep moving towards that end. We'll start to see things a little more clearer than we probably see them at this moment. So I say all that with church, this in mind, may your faith be fueled by the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And may you endure to the very end. May you endure to the end knowing that he wins. This leads us to our second truth. Our second truth is this: God has set a limit upon this life and all evil. God has set a limit upon this life and all evil. So these next verses, they take us to another part of Daniel's vision about the end and to a very important question: how long? Look at verse 5 and 6. He says, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? Most likely the two standing there were angels, and most likely the man who was clothed in linen who was above the water was probably the pre-incarnate Christ. Make a good case for that as he's above the waters in his priestly garb speaking to Daniel. And as Daniel's watching this, seeing this unfold, one of the angels asks the question that we all ask. How long? I mean, can you imagine being Daniel? You just got a picture of something that you really don't understand. He's going to tell us that in just a moment, that he kind of doesn't get it. But he's just had this experience, and then one of the angels who's listening in, who's also equally amazed just at what in the world is going to take place, and then one of them just says, how long shall it be? It's a great question, isn't it? We all love that question, unless it's our kids asking it in the back seat, or them asking how long till dinner, or it just keeps flying at you, you know what I mean? But it's one of those questions we all ask when we walk through hard things, isn't it? It is. I remember this summer, so I got sick and I had pneumonia, and it was one of those things that I've never experienced anything like that. I've never been sick quite like that. I felt like I was dying. I knew I wasn't dying, but I thought if I was going to die, this is what it probably feels like to die, because I just couldn't get out of bed. I could hear everything happening all around me, and there was no desire at all in me to get up and check any of it out. There was no energy in me to get up and move, and I hated it. And I remember just laying there at times and just thinking, how long? And I knew that it was going to end. This is how my mind works sometimes. I knew, like, in the sense that either I'm going to die or this thing just kind of goes away. And so I was literally asking, Lord, how long? I wanted it to be over, and it lasted longer than I thought it should have lasted. I don't think things like that should last very long, but the Lord had different plans for it. And so we have to wrestle through this, how long? And so we have this angel here saying, man, this is going to be bad. So how long is it going to be? How long will these things take place? When is this going to be over? And here's the answer. And I heard the man clothed in linen, this is verse 7, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand, and he raised his left hand toward heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and a half time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. There you go. How's that for an answer? Can you imagine being Daniel? Like, what I'm hoping for is on May 10th, 2020, at 10 a.m., it's done. Like, that's what we want, right? When we ask how long, we're like our kids that pull the phone and the map, and you get to know how long until you're at grandma's house, or until you're out there when you get to the place that you want to get to. It's going to tell you at 3:19. That's not what Daniel gets. Daniel gets time, times, and a half time. And then he gets a really specific one when the people's power is shattered. So I'm going to have a little quote kind of summarize time, times, and a time because I still don't sort of get it. I mean, I do, but it's not as specific as we'd like. But he says this, we can safely say, it's from Daniel Aiken. He says that the phrase time, times, and a half time is used in multiple differing ways. It can refer to a period of Jewish suffering up to the time of Christ. It can refer to a period of time between the first coming of Christ and the destruction of the temple in AD 70. And it can also refer to the season of suffering for Christians between the first and second comings of Christ. Which one do you think it means for us today? It's the time that we're in as we wait for Jesus Christ. And so as you think, how long, when will this be? And what he's saying is when Christ comes again. And then he also said this, it's going to come at the shattering of the power of the holy people when that comes to an end. Now, that's a bit disturbing, isn't it? How long? When the people of God and their power has been shattered. When they're at that darkest moment, when they feel the absolute most hopeless and weak. When they look out and it's really, really, really dark. And they have nothing left. And it feels like it's over. Then he will come and deliver. It's a bit disturbing. But that's his answer. And what he says is there's hope. The church is going to prevail. Even when you think it's not, the church will prevail. The gates of hell, they're not going to stop the church. See, we have a future, and the future is bright. It's going to walk through some difficult things. Don't think you won't walk through difficult things, but you will. And in the end, Jesus wins. He wins because he set some limitations upon all of this stuff. Darkness is not going to overcome and take over the church. Evil is not going to smash the church. The gospel wins. God has set these boundary lines upon it. And so there is an end, time, times, and a half time. When Christ returns, it's over. He wins. Jesus wins. Those who trust in Christ, in the end, they win. This world, it has an expiration date. That's one of those things. Just store that in the back of your mind. Put it on a reminder in your phone for every Monday morning when you wake up. This world has an expiration date. The world as we know it, it has an expiration date. And so it's meant to inform then how we live. So if this world has an expiration date, should we then live for the things of this world? No. If this world and all its evil has an expiration date, then what does that mean for us today? Does that mean we loosen our grip on the gospel? No, it means we cling to the gospel. We trust in the one who's overcoming this world for us, who died for us to save us, that we might live with him forever. And this leads to the final truth we learn that helps us in our endurance, and that is God will give his people understanding to endure. Verse 8, I heard, but I did not understand. There it is. Daniel listened to all this stuff, and he just said, you know what, that's really, really good, but I don't get it. Then I said, oh my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? What does this really mean? What's going to happen? And he goes on and he answers, and he said, verse 9, go your way, Daniel. Go your way, Daniel. For the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. But the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at 1,335 days, but go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. So what shall be the outcome of these things? What's going to happen to God's people? And Daniel said, go your way. Or God tells Daniel, just go your way. Go back to doing what you were doing. The end is coming. The wicked people, they're not going to understand the things of God. They're not going to get it. They won't turn away from their wickedness, and they're not going to trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation, but instead they're going to get what they deserve for rejecting Christ. But the outcome for God's people, he says this, the wise, those who have trusted in Christ, he says, they're going to get understanding. They're going to understand. They're going to receive from God some knowledge of what's taking place. Wisdom to be able to walk through tough things. You see, God has not left his people to suffer in the dark. It feels like it at times, though, doesn't it? But we don't. He doesn't leave us to suffer in the dark. He gives us knowledge. He gives us understanding. And he promises in the end, the outcome of these things is that the wise shall increase in their understanding. The wise shall know. The wise will be given input as to what will take place and how to live in these moments. God will not leave us in the dark. And you say, well, how do we know that? How do you think we know that? We're not there yet, but how do we know it today? We have this, don't we? He hasn't left us in the dark. And we're reading about it as Daniel's learning about this, as he's being prepared for the end, as he's being prepared to endure and to walk through things. And so God has spoken, God has revealed, and he's called for us to think about these things, to allow for these truths to kind of roll around in our minds so that when we hit those dark days or we hit those tough situations and trouble finds its way into our home, we're not walking through it blind. We have the truth that's been given to us by God from him, and it's informing us. Now, the wicked, he says, they ignore it. But the wise will meditate on it. The wise will look into it. The wise will be informed by it, and the wise will endure because of it. The grace of God. He says, the wise will endure. They'll run the complete race. They won't just run for 1,290 days. He said, no, those who run for 1,335, it's those that will benefit. I don't really know what those days mean. I wish I had a great understanding and say, well, it means specifically this. I think in general, the principle that's being taught here is endure to the end. Don't stop short. Do not stop until Christ returns. Do not stop believing in Christ. Never loosen your grip on the gospel. Never put it down. Keep picking up the cross each and every day, trusting in Jesus Christ all the way to day 1,335. Persevere through the ups and downs by trusting in Christ. See, Daniel's given this promise. He said, Daniel, go your way. Make it to day 1,335. And guess what? On that final day, there you're going to find yourself standing in the allotted place. Meaning you have this inheritance, Daniel. It's what awaits you. So keep running the race. There is a better future for you. And so what's the outcome of these things for us? I think very similar to Daniel. Go your way. Go your way. Go to work tomorrow. Show up to work and do what God has called you to do at work as you wait. Continue to love your wife as Christ has loved the church. Continue to love and honor your husband. Continue to obey your parents. Continue to be faithful to the things that God has called you to be faithful for and to. Because those who make it to the end, look, we're going to endure trouble, but if you make it to the end, you too will stand in your allotted place, the place that Christ has prepared for his people. And oh, it will be glorious. Church, let's run this race with endurance, looking to Christ, clinging to Christ, encouraging one another every day to continue to trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we have need for endurance. Lord, we have need to be able to see past today and tomorrow and into the future to that time when you return and you raise your people up to everlasting life and you allow for us to be brought into this eternal life with you where we get to realize it in full. Lord, help us to see that, to long for that, and for that to inform how we live our lives today. Lord, give us greater understanding into these things that we might persevere. Help us to encourage one another, Lord, to continue to endure in the faith. Lord, strengthen our faith, we ask. As we go forth today, Lord, bless your church with the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for being here. May the Lord bless you. May he pour out his Spirit upon you, and may you experience his peace this week.